The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com. Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded. It's so good to be back in studio. I've been out for a couple of weeks, but we've got fresh content this morning. This is the show where we explore the intersection between human and brand behavior. I want to say on the onset that please go to CliffCentral.com and download the interview. If you're just following this show or hearing about the show for the first time, a really good intro is to go listen to Gareth's show that was played on yesterday, which would be the 22nd of August, 2016, to hear our conversation about my new book, Personal Brand Intelligence. You'll get a good idea why I care so much about this show, Unbranded. But today, we focus on the history of blogs. The blogging is about to turn 20 years old. Can you believe it's been around that long? It's about to turn 20 years old. It sort of formalized around 1997. There's some question about when it really started, but we're going to really unpack what a web blog is. A blog is short for web log, and we're going to look at some strategic ways, if you are a blogger, how you can build your blog. We're also going to look critically at why it is blogging and bloggers are influencing the world the way they are in the political sphere, style, fashion, food, etc. And I think by the time the show finishes, you may just start a blog, or you may be inspired to take yours to the next level or to restructure, re-engineer your blog. I've got a wonderful guest in studio who is a prolific blogger who says she's been blogging forever, meaning 3 years. And we're going to chat to her in a moment. I'll introduce her. We're going to get Slicker on the line. This brother is doing amazing work when it comes to, you know, the music and the lifestyle industry. And he's very conscious. Most people don't realize how conscious he really is. But let's look at what a blog is. A blog is a regularly updated sort of website or web page, typically run by one or more individuals, a small group, that's written in an informal or conversational style. Let's go a bit back to the history. As I said before, well, the term was not really coined until the late 90s. The history of blogging starts with several digital precursors to it. The modern blog evolved from the online diary. That's what it really is. It's sort of an online sort of diary. It's not that deep, guys. If you've seen blogs being really technical, it's more like an online diary where people would keep a running account of their personal lives. It's generally recognized that the first blog was Lynx.net, created by Justin Hall, while he was at Swarthmore College, a student in 1994. Of course, at that time, there weren't called blogs, and he just referred to it as a personal homepage. It wasn't until 1997, 19 years ago, that the term weblog was coined. Steve Gibson was hired to blog full-time by Ritual Entertainment on February the 8th, 1997, possibly making him the first hired blogger. Imagine, the first hired blogger. So the short-form blog, coined by Peter Merholz, was jokingly broke the word weblog into the phrase "we blog" in the sidebar of his blog, petermee.com, 1999. I also want to give you a couple quick timelines before I bring my guest in. 1998, the Open Diary launched, which is a critical moment. The Open Diary. Remember, this is about being a diary. 1997, Slashdot, a still popular blog for tech nerds and so forth, opened. 1999, Brad Fitzpatrick, a well-known blogger, started Live Journal. I think it was in 2001, the political space really started to shift in the political world, was turned upside down by blogs. 2003, Google launched Blogger, but it was founded sort of by in 1999 by Evan Williams. Now, the reason why the history is important, if we look at how blogs have evolved, you'll really get a full appreciation of the fact that the entire world now has caught on. And South Africa has some of the best bloggers. I love South Africa for the fact that people who really do well in this part of the world do really well. That's why the sort of the first heart transplant happened here. CliffCentral.com. So many cool, amazing things. So speaking of cool and amazing, we have the lovely, the amazing, the stylish, who we kind of dressed alike. I don't know how that happened. Kiabe, Did I say that right?
Yes, you said it right.
Kiebe.
Yes.
Okay. And your surname is Matlo.
Mahutla.
Okay. I'm going to have this perfect by the end of this show.
I hope so.
Thank you so much for coming to Cliff Central. Welcome to Unbranded.
Thank you for having me.
It's extraordinary to have you here for a number of reasons, because your blog, you know, researching the show and coming in, I love the cleanliness and I love the fact that you understand yourself very well.
Thank you.
You
so
know
much.
What works. But you know what I'm most excited about is that a lot of people who blog and who are very sort of prolific on Instagram and stuff, they don't look like themselves. You actually look like yourself.
I'm glad to hear that, because I don't want to hear that I look better online than I do face to face.
Yeah, I mean, you look amazing online and you look amazing in person. And I think there's a fine line, and some people, they just go to the extreme, editing. Do you use editing apps? Do you like clean yourself up a little bit?
Just a little bit. I think it's nice to clean yourself up, make it look a bit minimal. I like a minimal look, which is classic, cleaned up, but I don't go overboard with the editing. I still like to look like myself, and I like people still to recognize me and to know that this is a girl who blogs. So I'm not a model, so I don't try to be perfect in any sense of the word.
Did you want to be at some stage in your life?
No.
Never. As a little girl.
No, I was very much a tomboy, so modeling never came into that. No.
Okay. So if you go to www.keabemautla.com, you can check out her blog while we have this conversation. And, you know, this sort of lifestyle, fashion integration, looking at the world, at what point did you become really passionate about this?
I became very passionate about it a few years ago, but only last year did I actually launch my blog properly and decide to take my personal style blog seriously. So I speak about the looks that I wear, the trends that I like, and I also discuss topical issues that I feel pertain to the modern woman and even man, actually. So we'll discuss things that are going on in the world, things that are interesting to me, and things that I feel just other people are going through as well.
So do you make money doing this?
Yes, I do.
So tell us how you structure your revenue. How do you plan the month? If you say for the month of September, August is nearly gone. For the month of September, how are you going to plan? How do you plan your revenue model? Do you get paid for posting? Do you get paid for online traffic, for marketing, advertising?
It's for different things. I haven't gotten into the advertising part of it where I'm selling space on my actual blog, but recently I have been getting paid to work on campaigns, such as currently I'm a Lux Bold ambassador.
Okay.
So I'm working with Lux currently, which I think is a lovely campaign. It's actually one of the biggest campaigns I've been working on so far. I love that Lux traditionally was a brand that focused on physical beauty. So they'd work with models, like pageants, that type of thing. And now they are moving their brand to work more with women that are still beautiful, if I may say so myself, but have more character. They have something more to offer. They have strength, resilience. They work. Blogging is not the only job that I do. I do work a 9-to-5 job, so that does assist me a bit. But on the blogging side, I need to take into consideration things like my photographs, getting my photos taken, writing well, and that I definitely get paid for.
And I love the fact that you just called yourself beautiful.
If I may say so myself.
You know what I love about it is because being in the blogosphere, you really do have to know your strengths. And whether that was some sort of Freudian slip or not, what was beautiful about it is that when you go into whatever your niche are, we're going to talk about the 10 types of blogs in a moment.
Okay.
But knowing and being clear on what you're selling is critical.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
You know you hot. Wait. Stay with me. What do you know about why people come to your site? Give me the top three things and why any brand would partner with you. Because I want people, because it's sort of like being sort of like, you know, shy and not really being certain about your brand value doesn't work.
I agree 100%. And I feel that's why my blog is working for me right now. Previously, I still am a bit, not shy, but a bit of an introvert. But now I know it's working for me because I'm able to put myself out there, and I know that I'm in the headspace that I am right now, which is more confident in myself and in what I have to offer people. So my minimal style, I'm a bit of a classic girl who likes the basics, but I'll switch it up a bit, you know, and I show people how to do that.
Cool.
Also discussing issues that, like I was telling you earlier, one of my favorite posts that I recently just put up was how to regulate your click and how important it is to surround yourself with people that inspire you, that add positive value into your life and don't just take or negative about it. So that type of stuff, bringing in something else other than fashion, is why I feel people visit my site.
Awesome. I love that focus. And speaking of clicks and speaking of people who understand this blogosphere and really are helping shape society, we have my man Slicker on the line. And Slicker, welcome to Unbranded.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
I'm out here in the street.
Nice, man. Nice. You know, today we're talking the history of blogging. You know, blogging is about to turn 20 years old. It was really sort of formalized in around 1997, and South Africa has, you know, really sort of taken blogging and really taken it by the bulls by the horn and really starting to shape society politically, music, fashion, film, the art space, and the world has taken notice. Why do you blog?
It's really an outlet, you know. To me, it was, and I think I got a lot in my mind, you know, that I keep thinking of with regards to my passion for music. So I just wanted to put it out there. The challenge is commercializing it, but you know, we finally got there as the numbers grew, you know.
And how long did you blog before you started to commercialize it? Give me the gap between the first time you posted and then the first time you actually made a little cash.
I'd say, well, let me just go back. I started my first, like, blog in 2006 or 2007. Or five, I don't know, somewhere there, co-regulation Dakota. So this one, I must have officially, I started on when Beyonce dropped her album in December, I remember. So,
wow.
It was the day that Beyonce dropped that iTunes album, that surprise album, because I remember I was learning how to, they were teaching me how to do the uploads. You know, that surprise album she dropped like 2-3 years ago.
Okay.
It was in December. And I think we only commercialized it. I only like really started making money off it like after 13 months.
Oh, wow. 13 months. So you invested. How were you making cash? How were you subsidizing your life to get to a point? Because my main thing is, Slicker, is I want people who are listening to realize, you know, you have to invest time and you have to figure out a way to sort of stick to your passion, and, you know, have a sort of a revenue base somewhere. I mean, how were you making money? How were you making money while you were growing your blog?
Well, I mean, what I did, you know, I was a partner at a marketing agency for a little while. So I literally left the agency because, you know, I just said, let me take the leap. I saved up some money, and I literally like saved up some money, which would be my salary. And that's when I jumped, I think, which was like last year, January, I think 2-3 months, that's when I really started going out, looking for business, selling different strategies to agencies, which they also hadn't seen before. So, you know, the innovation wasn't just the platform. The innovation was the sales pitch also, you know. So the sales pitch was different, and people were like, oh, we've never seen anything like this. And my numbers also showed that, like, it's actually different. So, you know, fortunately, because I had a marketing background, I could position it and package it as a thing to be sold. You know what I mean?
Got
so,
it.
I mean, for the first 12 months, I was doing it. I was at work, and then I'd sleep, like, late to literally do it, to do the site. So I'd be sleeping at 12, 1. And then during work, I'm literally, like, dabbling in my work, and then I get into the blog. So it always kept calling me, and I had to make a decision. Am I going to leave work and take the risk of something that no one really can monetize except like real, the big companies that have been doing it for over 100 years or something. So I took the leap, and I said, listen, I sold rap in South Africa when it wasn't selling. I can't try to sell this. Let's see, you know?
I'm looking at your blog now as we speak, and I'm on page 1 of 709. You know what's interesting? Yeah.
So, and that's like our second site, you know, I mean, we I ran a different platform for almost 16 months. So that's like the new platform that's got almost 709 pages.
Wow. You know, what's interesting for me is that, you know, with having a voice, would you say that your network and being able to tap into an influential network, how do you get the buzz going? Do you, for example, send out the links to your friends and ask them to post it? How do you get it going? Or you just post it yourself and hope people, what is your strategy for getting some viral buzz going?
Well, I think, you know, you got things like, so if you, I always go, you know, we don't own social media, and social media proves that to us, because we grow our audiences for social media only so we can reach 2% of them, and then they use our audience to sell. So I already know that, like, having a Facebook or Twitter page doesn't mean you got ownership on it, of anything. So my whole concept has always been on ownership. So how I utilize, like, social media, I utilize social media to link people to what I own. So social media literally is just a link to what I own. So because the information is consistent, because the information is authentic, and because most of it is exclusive, it automatically also gets, like, that organic sharing. So we probably sitting close to 250,000 unique visitors a month at an average duration of, like, 3 minutes or something like that.
Wow.
And that's just been built over of just being consistent. I tell people that if you're selling something different, people want to see you do this different thing every day, so they think it's normal. So now people think having a blog is a normal thing, especially in my space, because I've been consistent Monday to Friday. I've never missed an update. I've had more than 16 stories a day. It's a big job, you know?
And yeah.
I actually sold a part of the company just like now, like 4 or 5 months ago. You know, I just did an acquisition deal for it. So you know, it's a real job, and we got real ambition, because we're not just innovating the storytelling and the blogging, but we're also innovating the commercialization of digital in the market.
Slicker, just quickly before we let you go, I know you're busy. You know, we have an incredible young woman on the line. I'm not sure if you guys know each other. Kiabe Mahutla, do you guys have you guys met before?
No, I don't think so. No.
I want you to check out her blog. And give him your blog details.
My blog is kiabemautla.com. So that's KEABEMAUTLA.com.
And I'm just gonna go write it down, because I just missed the office quickly.
All right, cool, man.
Okay.
I want you to check it out and see what you think. I love networking people. I love people who are creative, doing amazing stuff, connecting out there, bro. I really appreciate it. I caught Black Les's new track on your blog, so keep it up. I'm one of the followers, so keep doing your thing, bro, and we'll touch base soon.
Thank you. And can you please give me that URL again?
It's kiabemautla.com. KEABEMAUTLA.com.
I'm definitely going to check it out.
Thank you.
You got to grow this. This is the future.
Absolutely.
Awesome, bro. Thank you so much for joining us on Unbranded. Wonderful.
Thanks for calling me, brother.
Peace. All right, there we go. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see what his thoughts are on your value and what you're doing. Which blogs are you inspired by?
That's a tough one for me to answer. The thing is, I think I'm inspired a lot by people who write more than showcase their personal style and fashion, because I think we all have different styles and fashions. So I'm inspired by locally chica.co.za. I'm also inspired by internationally Exo Nicole, who previously used to write a lot of celebrity news and celebrity gossip, and now she's focusing on things that pertain to the modern woman, which is, I feel, where I'm going as well. So, yeah, those are the type of blogs that inspire me.
The modern woman. Who is your muse? Give me an idea. Who is this modern woman? What does she look like?
Oh, my goodness. The modern woman is ambitious. She does things out of the ordinary. She doesn't have to follow the same path that everyone is walking down. She really does her own thing, and does so graciously and beautifully, and she knows where she's going. She has ideas for the future which people may not agree with, but she follows her own path, basically.
She's certain.
Yes, very certain.
Do you know Mario Lavanderia?
No, I don't know who that is.
That is Paris Hilton.
Oh, wow.
Paris Hilton makes per month 5.6 million rand on his blog.
That is insane.
This random dude posting about lifestyle and fashion. Mm-hmm. 5.6 million. Can we just figure that out quickly, how much that is per year? Can we just do that quickly? 5.6 million times 12. That is 67 million rands per year. Blogging. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, this is Timothy Maurice, Unbranded. We have Kiebe Mahutla on the show chatting about lifestyle blogging, the history of blogs, and how you can influence the world, and how you can make a little change. Mario's not the only one. There's a brother named Pete Cashmore who's making $600,000 per month. It is incredible how much money you can make by blogging about something that you're passionate about. We're going to go to a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some strategy. We're going to talk about specifically this case study about how she did it. We're also going to give you some of the best blogs on this continent. And I'm going to encourage you to do your thing. Launch your blog. We all have downtime. I don't care. People say, I'm busy. No, you're not. Barack Obama is busy. The rest of us, we stand in Willie's queue, and you can blog while you're in the queue. We'll be right back.
Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com. I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters. At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za. Unbranded on cliffcentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded. I'm Timothy Maurice, and we're talking blogs, the history of blogs, as blogging turns almost 20 years old, literally, since the advent of democracy in South Africa. People have been blogging around the world. And this is Unbranded, and you know, we unpack the intersection between human and brand behavior, how people impact brands and how brands impact people. Bloggers are impacting the world from the political sphere. As you can see, that I believe bloggers had a huge impact on the DA being able to sort of recapture Johannesburg. It's incredible that the DA sort of runs two of the most powerful cities in Africa. It's amazing. Anyway, but today we are talking about the way a blogger can create a level of influence and influence their space, whether it's technology, lifestyle, fashion, music. We just had Slicker on the line. If you rewind, you can hear him speak about how it took him about 13 months to begin to really sort of engage and build revenue. But he has very open mind, very conscious understanding about how you do not control the Twitter social media world, but you got to put quality content out there and begin to engage. Before we went to the break, we were talking about how much people are making, and the fact that Paris Hilton took Paris Hilton's name and just sort of leveraged it early on when she was buzzing, but he's continued to build his own brand. His original name is Mario Lavandera. He blogs. He's been blogging since 2005, and you can say whatever you will about his style of journalism, but he is a celebrity news and scandals type of journalism, breaking news about people like Lindsay Lohan, Justin Bieber, and he is making a killing to the point of about 67 million rands per year. And you may think it's nonsense, but I would ask you to reconsider the fact that if you're passionate about anything from braiding hair to sneakers and you want to do a blog about the latest sneaker and you're a sneakerhead, consider putting up a post. You can even have sort of a free sort of template that you use, and before you know it, things are off the ground and running. So in studio, we have Kiebe Mahutla, who has an extraordinary sort of fashion lifestyle blog. She admitted at the beginning of the show that she realized that she's beautiful and that, you know, part of the reason why people will engage her is that she has a beautiful lens on the world, and that she translates how she sees the world through her lens, and people relate to that. You mentioned that there, you, part of your partnership structure is that you partner with brands and you engage your blog, and that's how you can sort of make sort of revenue.
Correct.
Do you think it's okay? I know there's a lot of women out there who have a blesser who sort of subsidizes their lifestyle until mm-hmm. they can get off the ground. How do you feel about this blesser phenomenon?
Wow, hey, that literally went to the left. So confusing. Okay. Well, the whole blesser lifestyle, I feel like you need to do whatever makes you happy. I'm not a judgmental person, and I feel like if that's the type of life you want to live, with having somebody who's going to sponsor different things for you, then go for it. If it makes you happy, if it allows you to sleep at night, then girl, go for it. I personally, I don't think I'd be able to live that type of lifestyle. I like working for myself. I like having my own stuff. I like knowing that if anything happens, I still have my own things, and no one can take those things away from me.
So you bless yourself.
I bless myself, absolutely.
Okay, and then in blessing yourself, how have you been able to sort of afford this lifestyle? Because you look like on your blog, you're rich.
I'm not rich.
So how do you ensure that you keep up a certain sort of standard on your blog that meets a level that brands would want to partner?
Well, firstly, blogging is not the only thing that I do. I do work full-time, 9 to 5. I'm in the IT industry. I'm an analyst and project manager at the same time. So that does allow me to subsidize a bit of what I'm doing. But what I've been trying to do lately is use only the money that is coming in for the blog to use against the blog. So any money that I am making from partnering with brands, I'll use to style myself. I'll use to pay for a photographer. I'll use to get my data, you know, to write and that type of thing.
Do you have goals of being full-time?
Absolutely.
And what are they?
I definitely would like to blog full-time. I'd like to work with brands that that understand that it's not just about the fashion, that there's so much more going on with women. And I definitely would like to write and blog full-time.
And any goals in terms of time frames?
Ooh.
Next 3 years, 4, 5, 6 months?
6 months? No, that's pushing it. Maybe in about a year or two, I think then I'll be able to, I would have stabilized a good following, figured out myself. I feel like since my blog is only, it really is only a few months old, I launched it last November, so I still am growing and I am fine-tuning it every day as I go along.
Are you sometimes shocked and surprised that something you thought was hot, nobody liked it?
I think what surprises me the most are like Instagram posts that I think are absolutely stunning and this is going to get so many likes and people are going to love this, and they don't. And then the blurry photo that I think isn't going to do that great, but I would like to still put it out, that like gets tons of hits. And I'm like, what is going on here?
And what are you finding? What are some of the patterns? You know, I was looking at preparing for this, and this is definitely research, looking at Kim Kardashian's and her sister's Instagram. And one of the things I found fascinating is that the overly sort of perfect type of photo that's been well edited and stuff often gets the least amount of likes. But the raw, sort of regular, normal stuff. And obviously baby stuff, people just like emotional stuff. But from a style perspective, what are you finding that really people love?
I find that interesting, actually, that you mentioned that, because I feel that is just, that's the crux of social media. The reason why we like social media so much is because I get a glimpse into somebody's life who I feel their life, okay, Kim's life is totally different from mine, but I feel like it's so unattainable, or it's so different from what I'm doing. So seeing her in a normal setting, seeing her not perfectly photoshopped or, you know, not contoured to perfection, makes me relate a bit better to her. Mm. So I feel that's a great thing about social media. Not everything has to be perfect, but you are getting a bit of a glimpse into somebody's life who you get to realize is a normal person as well.
Let's talk about some of the best blogs in South Africa. Two Ocean Vibes still killing it.
Yeah.
imod.co.za, the personal blog, All for Women fashion lifestyle blog. Have you ever been to them?
Yes.
The other site, All for Women. The Urban Sprout, .co.za, is about the green movement. It's a really great blog. Check it out if you're into sort of saving the planet or just sort of like, you know, really understanding it better. I'm sure you know Aisha. Yes. Aisha Baker.
Yes.
From www.bakedtheblog.com. I feel like she's very Western. Like, if you know, I could see that if I didn't know who she was, I would think she's from LA or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think one of the things that we need more of is people who are proudly African. Again, I don't judge anything, but I really feel that there's enough people blogging about a Western life.
Absolutely.
And I think we need people with a strong sort of backbone to be able to pull up. That's why I like people like what's his Sturman's Diary? What's his name?
Trevor Sturman.
Trevor. You know, he's very proudly African. It's really nice to see that. And again, I mean, there's some great blogs on both sides of the equation. Mm. And The Threaded Man is a really great sort of blog. Slickr Online, as we just talked about, and that's Slikour. That's how you spell it, Slickr. And of course, yours. What are some of the things also that you find intriguing, like, about it? Do you ever get frustrated? Do you ever find yourself in a point where, you know what, this is too much, let me just focus on my work and
absolutely,
do IT?
Absolutely. I feel like because time, number one, is my biggest problem. I don't have the time to do, well, I do have the time, I'm struggling to find the time to do everything I want to do. So writing out a post usually will take, let's say, a few hours, but because I'm such a perfectionist and I look at the last post that I put out and I want it to be just as good and even better, it takes me forever to finish writing a post. And then it's 3 o'clock in the morning and I need to be up at six again, you know. So time management is one of those things that I'm struggling with. That is the biggest issue that I have right now. But it's a work in progress, and I'm working to, you know, get that right.
Okay, I'm going to give you the sort of 10 types of blogs. You're going to tell me which one you are, okay?
Okay.
All right, number one, you've got the rogue. The rogue attracts attention, good or bad. They just sort of like, you know, they are rogue. They go out there and they just get content and post it. Then you have the guest host. These are people who host others' top-notch content, almost like an aggregator. Okay. That's number two. Number three, you got the crash test dummy. Test different types of stuff, business tools, earphones, headphones. They just test stuff and see if it works. Okay? Number four, the niche. Super focus, such as only, they focus on things like just sales techniques or just the latest shoes. Very, very focused, very niche.
Okay.
Then you have the giver. They focus on giveaways, upgrades, trades, bartering. They are about giving. Then you have the guide, number six. They help readers with personal lives on a journey. They guide them through spiritual life, through travel destinations, that type of thing. Number seven, the long form. Those are people who write 2,500 word posts, unpacking complex subjects, etc. Number eight, the tell-all. The person who's done it all. They've been to the top of the mountain. They're going to tell you exactly how to get from the bottom to the top of the mountain. Number nine, the personal brand. Those are the ones who are trying to position themselves to offer value to your life. They are constantly branding themselves. They are the ones that it's all about them and what they can do for you. And then you have the enterprise, which is the company, not necessarily an individual blog, but a company that is offering some value.
I think you got to number 10 and I was like, what am I? I'm not too sure. I think I'm a combination between the niche and the personal brand.
Okay.
Yeah, so I like focusing on women's issues. I like focusing on fashion. I like focusing on trends. And I like building myself as a personal brand.
And this new world of sort of where influence, you know, where companies call on people to co-create things.
Mm.
I just got a call recently from a bank who's looking to sort of co-create something with me relative to getting more people attracted to a particular product that they offer. And I'm not sure about it because I feel like part of it is I could potentially be selling myself short, almost bastardizing myself. Do I really want to do that? I'd almost rather remain authentic and that people come to my pages with me not selling much. Even with releasing a book recently, there's so much I haven't posted.
Mm.
And, you know, I've only shared slightly because I don't want people to feel like I'm pushing stuff down their throat constantly.
Yeah.
This sort of organic approach works for me. How do you feel about that? If brands come to you and they say, look, you know, because you have this sort of look, you really work well, you have this sort of fusion between sort of an ordinary, you know, professional woman and this sort of model type of look, we want to attract ordinary women who want to look like models and we want you to post about our brand 3 times a day. Would you say yes? And we're going to give you, $15,000 a month.
It depends. Look, I feel it's very important for me to work with brands that align to my vision and mission as well.
Which is
it
what?
Doesn't make sense.
your vision and mission.
It doesn't make sense for me to partner up with a brand that I don't feel like, for if it was apparel, for example, if I don't wear the clothes or I'd never been into a store and spent my own money, it doesn't make sense for me to want to then partner up with a brand just for the sake of making a few couple hundred or thousands or however much you said. So it definitely has to be an organic type of relationship. It needs to be something that I believe in as well. It needs to be a brand that if maybe they're trying to move into a different direction, a direction that I am in already. So I don't want to change my style. I don't want to have to change anything about myself just to push something down my readers' throats in order to get paid. So it definitely needs to be some kind of organic relationship.
Okay. So your vision and values and your mission.
Yeah.
Unpack that a little bit for me.
So my vision for myself and my blog actually is to educate, to entertain, and maybe to inspire as well. I like having beautiful looking posts, but also posts with meaning, posts that you're going to read and you can read again in a few months' time, that just because what I'm wearing may not be in style at that time, what I've written about is would still be relevant at a later stage in time.
Got it. And, you know, if Paris Hilton is making upwards about $5 million a month,
mm-hmm.
What are your long-term goals per month?
Oh, my goodness.
And
look, I'd like to be able to support my lifestyle. Basically, that's just... I can't put a specific amount on that. I need to be able to afford my lifestyle, still live comfortably. I like traveling. I want to be able to save to travel, you know, go shopping, that type of thing.
$2 million a month. Okay, cool. We get it. We get it. Okay. You know, I think moving forward, you know, one of the things I think is really intriguing about this conversation is that you actually just started. You did.
Yeah.
You had the courage to get started. Was there someone who pushed you? Was there somebody? Do you have cheerleaders in your corner? You have people who are real fans that keep you moving?
I definitely have cheerleaders. I think my friends are my biggest cheerleaders, which I love. I don't think I have fans per se that are out there, but my biggest pushing, what pushed me the most at the time, was I like writing. I like putting my work out there, and people complimented my style, so I figured let me fuse the two together. I love fashion. I have a zeal and a real passion for it, so I decided to fuse the two together.
When you think about people like, do you know Crystal Casper? You know Crystal. What do you think about her sort of blog, and are you guys competing?
No, I don't think I have competition. I don't try to compete with anyone. I love Crystal's style. I think she's a beautiful girl. And I feel like she's actually one of the bloggers that I follow quite religiously. I love her work, and I think she's really talented.
Why would a brand go to her versus you, or you versus her?
That's an interesting question. I feel like we represent different things. Crystal is... Yeah, I think she's been doing this for quite a while, and I love how she fuses like normal day-to-day brands with a bit higher-end stuff. So maybe if they were just looking for a different look, if they were looking for maybe somebody who had a bit more experience, they may go to her. But my blog is fresher. My content is a bit more different. It's not just about the fashion and what it is that I'm wearing. So yeah, I think my content has a bit more depth. And hers is a lot more fashion-related.
Got it. Okay. And this is important to note. You know, using social media to influence and grow your blog is really important. So I'm looking at your Instagram page now. You phrase yourself, or you frame yourself, the ball style blogger.
Yes.
And president of the Itty Bitty Titty Committee.
Yes.
Now, as the president of this committee, what is your job?
What is my job? My job is to be... I put that up because I feel like as women, we try to be so many different things. We try to be so perfect. And there's no need to do so. Yes, I'm flat chested, but I love rocking my itty bitty titties. So I'm happy to do so. And I feel like as soon as I'm comfortable with who I am and I'm able to push that out to the world, I'm hoping to give someone else the confidence to do the same thing. And we're not perfect people.
When I read that, the first thing I thought was, that's a bold statement about confidence and self-assurance and saying very confidently that this is who I am.
Absolutely.
And not having Kim Kardashian curve doesn't mean you're not perfect, though.
True. I mean, they're different versions of perfect.
That's my point.
Of perfection.
That's my point. And then how much time do you spend on Instagram versus your Instagram versus your actual blog?
I spend a lot of time on Instagram. I love Instagram. It's one of the social networks that I think I spend the most time on. But putting posts together takes up much more time than being on Instagram. So I like linking a lot of my blog content to my Instagram. So posting images that you can see on my blog on my Instagram. So I use the two interchangeably, but I definitely spend more writing posts and shooting them, styling posts, etc.
And Snapchat and all these other
emerging. I'm actually not big on Snapchat. I joined Snapchat about 2 weeks before Insta Stories got launched, and then I just figured I'm not going to try bother with this.
Okay, cool.
So I use my Insta Stories more.
We wish you the best as you continue to sort of blog and sort of share with people and continue to make money. We're thrilled that you decided to come and share with us on Unbranded.
Thank you for having me. I'm grateful
to reconnect with you after so many years. www.keabemautla.com. One last sort of parting shot. What can people expect from you, and if they follow you over the next sort of on Twitter and Instagram at KIABE, mm-hmm. what can they expect from you over the next couple of years?
New content, new fresh content, growth. I think they can expect fab fashion as well, good looks, and just tips and tricks to inspire you.
Well, thank you again, and hang out with us as we chat to Rianette, the birthday girl. Welcome back to Unbranded with Safety Net. How are you, Rianette?
I'm so well. Thank you, Timothy. It's good to be back, hey?
Yeah, it is good to be back. What do you have for us today?
So today, welcome to the Cyber Health Feature. Like Timothy said, I'm Rianette Labovitz, and I'm from Safety Net Cyber Safety. And the mission is to create awareness for responsible digital engagement. Whether you're a blogger or just someone who reads these amazing blogs, we have to think what we tweet and just be responsible. So today I would like to continue with a series I started on the 2nd of August, and the series is the 10 Cybercrime Savvy Tips, and I found this on Alert Africa, and I would recommend that you go there because they've got loads more information to share, alertafrica.com. So just as a recap, the first five tips that I shared was, number one, use common sense. Things like never share your personal information, such as your ID number, your email address, etc., on public sites. Only engage with people that you really personally know or that was referred to you by a trusted source. And then do not enable GPS location tracking on social media. So, for instance, don't allow social media sites on any other sites to automatically track your location. They don't have to know where you are all the time.
Exactly.
So that was number one. Number two was update your software. Activate automatic updates for all your software. Number three, install antivirus software. And this is very important because you get free and commercial antivirus packages. So we can all be safe, and do not install more than one antivirus software per device. Number four was inspect your links before you click. And there is a whole long list I shared of things that you can do to make sure that before you actually reply to an email, to make sure that it's a trusted source. So remember, banks will never ask you to share your passwords or update anything via email. And if it sounds too good to be true, well, it probably is. Number five was how to make sure that the emails and attachments you receive are legit. And again, I would like to refer you back to that show because it was a long list, and go back to alertafrica.com because there's lots of ways for you to actually copy and paste a URL to double check its safety before you can click on it or reply to it. But spot a fake email. There are specific ways to look at the form field, obvious spelling mistakes that they've made, and then also spot dangerous attachments. So for today, coming back to the number six is review app permissions. Read app permissions before accepting and installing the app. And I've asked this many times before. Before you say, I accept the terms and conditions, double check what permission you're giving to them. Then also, you have to ask, do the permissions requested by the app make sense? For example, is it really important for a weather app to know what your contacts are? Do they need access to your contact list? And then also, only install apps from trusted sources like Google Play Store and iTunes Store. And they say, Alert Africa, do not jailbreak Apple or Root. That's the Android. Don't jailbreak. There's a reason why you go through these trusted sources, because these guys and these apps have been vetted and they are safe. Number seven is use strong and unique unique passwords. Now, I know you've all heard this before and it sounds so silly to say it again, but listen, you can't use 123, you can't use QWERTY, you can't use your dog's name. Those are too easy. So just a couple of tips. Use a combination of numbers and special characters and use different passwords for all your different accounts. So one way to do this is to take a phrase, for instance, like online banking. Baking would be nice. Online baking, that's a new thing.
Yeah.
Online banking saves me a lot of time. And then create a password with all the first letters of the word. So, and then include some numbers and a year or a date. So the password you create will be very difficult for someone else to spot, and it will be easy for you to remember. So in terms of passwords, again, there are many, many tips on this. And also remembering pins. You could spell a word. For instance, one idea they give on Alert Africa, and of course you can't use this example, is risky. If you type that in on a keypad, it's 74759, and it's easy to remember, right? So number 8 is protect your data. Again, how many times have we lost a phone or if our laptops have crashed, and we learned this the hard way. So back up your most valuable information, and your documents and family pictures take priority. Then secondly, do not keep your backup drive close to your machine. I mean, think about it. If someone comes to visit your house late at night and takes your stuff, they will take both. Then encrypt your hard drive. There are many encryption tools available that you can go and check out. And then shred. This is not cyber related, but listen, we throw stuff in the bin and we still have our personal information on that. So if I really want to be sly, I can get that and link it to your online profiles. So shred, credit cards, old CDs that may contain personal information, etc. Number 9, log out all accounts. I know it's a hassle to every time I have to go and type in your password and log in again. However, there's a reason for not, say, clicking on remember me, especially in open areas and Wi-Fi areas where you are using other people's computers. So when you're finished with your email or your social media, click log out. If you go to the ladies' room or men's room at an open plan office, I would recommend that. I know of people who've been scammed when they leave that open. Number 10 is Bluetooth and Wi-Fi considerations. This one is really important, people, because we connect everywhere we go. We like to just be on the, you know, connected to all devices around us. So be careful when you're in an open area where people can then have access to your data, your social networks, and also when you do online banking. It's not advisable to do it in an open Wi-Fi hotspot. So there are many other tips that you can find on alertafrica.com. And thank you again for listening. I encourage you to join us on Facebook and Twitter. It's SafetyNet. And it's SAVET because we save lives by creating awareness.
Thank you so much, Rhiannette. I just logged out of two accounts while you were speaking. I realized that I stay logged in too much. And that's also why people think I'm online a lot. People think I'm online. I'm actually not online. I'm just not logged out.
Yes.
So you're going to help me keep my sister from being angry with me because my sister thinks I'm logged in. And she's like, why are you not replying to me? Because I'm not logged out. Now I'm protecting myself and keeping my relationship with my sister happy.
Thank you.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much again for downloading Cliff Central app and continue to go to the website, or if you don't have the app, I recommend you actually just get the app. Get the app because it's just so easy. I mean, the designers here at Cliff Central have made it really easy. So, and I really appreciate you continue to follow Unbranded. I keep meeting you out there. Keep getting your mails and your emails. And it just really means a lot that you're following our work and what we're doing. Because we really do. We are curious and we're learning from you as well. And Kia Bay, Mahutla, thank you so much, man. You're such a star, and continue to do what you're doing in the sort of fashion lifestyle space. We'll be looking at the world through your lens.
Thank you so much for having me, Tim.
We'll be back next week with another episode of Unbranded.
This is CliffCentral.com.